Thank you, Jesus. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Welcome. We're glad that you're here this morning to worship God with us. If you're a guest, we're excited that you decided to come and worship God with us this morning. You decided to take that step and see if this would be a place that you would enjoy. Welcome. If you are here and you brought someone, just very proud of you for living out the mission of God of helping people, leading people to know God and make Him known. So now, as we continue our series today, we've been doing this series on prayer. I want to just do a brief recap of it, of where we've been so far in the last couple of weeks. When we started this series in week one, which was 3 weeks ago, I talked about how to approach God in prayer. And we used the Lord's Prayer, as an example. And we saw that in that first little phrase, Jesus says, He tells His disciples, "Our Father who art in heaven," and that would be the model of which we would approach God. And what Jesus was saying and what He was doing at that very moment is He was saying, "Hey, listen, God is holy. Hallowed be your name. He is holy. He's different. He's distinct. He is perfect." But He starts it off, interestingly enough, with the words, "Our Father." And that would have been very radical in that day, because most people would have approached God with a very ritualistic sense, with a very ritualistic approach. And Jesus says, no, wait a minute. When you approach God the Father, you approach Him as Father. You know, He's not a God of a distance somewhere out there in the galaxy, in the universe, looking down on you, hoping that you mess up so you could be in trouble. He's actually a Father. And not just any Father. He's not a reflection of your Father. He is perfect Father. And that's what we have. We have immediate access to this God who is not a God of a distance, but a God of a personal relationship. And we saw that in the first week. The second week, we saw that there are certain things that hinder our prayers. Certain things that hinder our prayers. And the big idea 2 weeks ago was that the further away we get from what matters to God, the harder it is for us to receive that of which He wants to give to us, right? That the further we get away from the things that matter most to Him, the more difficult it is for us to receive all that He has in store for us. And in many cases, some prayers go unanswered because we are so far from what matters to God. And this morning, I'm going to talk about how to receive a prayer from God or an answer from God. If we want to receive an answer from God, you got to realize that your attitude actually matters. Your attitude matters more than you think. Let me share with you a universal principle, and that is this, that your attitude determines your altitude. John Maxwell said that. Your attitude determines your altitude. In other words, depending on how you approach life will depend how far you go in life. Now, that can be applied in different areas of our life, for example, our work. If you go to work and you have a very sour attitude, if you have the kind of attitude that's like, "I don't want to be here, I don't care for this work, for this job," and you have just really negative attitude, guess what? There's not going to be too much altitude. You're not going to move up there. You know, you're not going to go noticed by the boss. You're not going to get the affirmations, maybe even the bonuses or moving up in the company that you're in. But if you have a positive attitude in your work, guess what happens? Your attitude determines your altitude. You start getting noticed, and all of a sudden, you know, your boss starts taking an interest, and you start getting those bonuses, and you get that raise, and maybe you even get that supervisor position you've been wanting. Maybe that manager. Maybe you decide that you want to start a business because your attitude determines your altitude. The same can be said of marriage. The same can be said of marriage. Just think about it. If you're with your spouse and you have a real sour attitude about your spouse and about her or about him, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to go that far up in your relationship. As a matter of fact, it's just going to stale. It's just going to stay right there. It's going to be stuck. You're going to be in a rut because your attitude determines your what? Your altitude. So if you're positive in a relationship, you see the best in your spouse, you think, you know what, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to go ahead and love on him or love on her or respect on him, love on her. Guess what happens? Things go well because your attitude determines your what? Your altitude, you know, you go far in your relationship. Well, guess what? It's the same way with Jesus Christ. It's the same way with God. That our attitude with God matters. It matters. The way we approach God, the way we ask of God, the way we our demeanor before God plays a big role in how God answers a prayer. So if you go before God with this kind of attitude of, you know, God, you know, if you think about it, can you answer this prayer? And then that's it. Do you think he's going to be like, oh, yes, I'm going to answer that prayer? No, because your attitude determines your altitude. You know, even in prayer, if you just come to God with this attitude of, you know, God, I don't even know if you can answer this. I'm going to throw it out there because I was made a challenge to do it. I'm going to throw it out there, but I'm not expecting for you to do anything with that. You think he's going to do anything with that? Very unlikely, very unlikely. Our attitude is important. I'm going to read to you a passage this morning. I want you to go to Luke chapter 1, verse 5 this morning. And we're going to see a person that had a very unique attitude before God. His attitude mattered before God. And in the process, after I read the passage, we're going to see that there's five key attitudes that we ought to have in order to receive an answer from God. So go there with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Go there in your paper Bibles or in your electronic Bibles. And it reads like this. It says, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Verse 6, both of them were upright in the sight of God. Fast forward, verse 7, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. So pause there for just a moment. You have this beautiful, wonderful couple, and they can't have any kids. They don't have any kids up to this point. And they can't have them. In verse 8, it says, once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. In verse 12, it says, when Zechariah saw him, that is the angel, he was startled and was gripped with fear. Verse 13, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. Verse 14, he will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great. He will be what? Great in the sight of the Lord. Fast forward, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Verse 16, many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. Pause there for just a moment. Did you catch that? Let me put it this way. Men, did you catch that? I'm going to read it again slower and check out how he says, how he directs the age of his wife. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? And I'm an old man. And my wife is what? Well along in years. Man, that is a diplomat if you have one right there. Like he could have said, hey, I'm old, and man, she's old too. Notice, man, he doesn't do that. He says, I'm old. And she's growing in age, you know? Probably the same age. So we gotta take notes in there. He knows how to handle his wife, how to talk about her in a way that's positive. And then we continue, and it says, he has some doubts at this point. He says, the angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." So the angel Gabriel says, "Hey, listen, you're not believing me that you're going to have a child, and he will be great among God. I mean, God, he's going to be a star. I mean, he is going to be the forerunner of Jesus, and you're not believing me. And as a result, you're not going to be able to talk while Elizabeth is pregnant." Verse 23, "When his time of service was completed, he returned home after his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. 'The Lord has done this for me,' she said. 'In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people.'" You see, for Elizabeth, for her not to have a child would be very disgraceful during that time. They would have seen her as, "Hey, wait a minute, why doesn't she have a child? Is there something wrong with her? Does she disappoint God? Is she in sin? Why is she not having a child?" And then at the end of the story, we see that finally she has her child. And it has nothing really to do with her. It has nothing to do with her. It has everything to do with God. And so here we see four attitudes that we ought to have in order to receive an answer from God. And the first attitude is this: let God answer in his time. Let God answer in his time. The bottom line is this: you can't rush God. He only answers to his own timetable when he's ready. How many of you have seen that in your life? That his timetable is very different than your timetable. Who has seen that in your life? Yeah, you know, most of us, right? We want it here, we want it now, we wanted it yesterday, right? And his timetable is very different than ours. I want you to remember this and write it somewhere in your notes or in your Bible. God often delays. God often delays. That's important to realize and to understand. Otherwise, if you don't understand that basic principle, that basic fact, you're going to be frustrated with God. You're going to be frustrated. Now, Zechariah had been praying for years. I'm sure that when he was young, he was praying with his wife, Elizabeth. "God, I just want to pray that you would just show up and we'd have a child." And then maybe they entered into their 30s and he was still praying, "God, will you provide for a child?" And maybe they entered into their 40s still praying, "God, when, oh God, are you going to provide?" And then in their 50s, the prayers maybe got shorter and more dispersed, you know. And by the 60s, 60-year-old, maybe he wasn't even praying at all, just altogether had given up, because after all, he understood by the time he turns into his 60s and 70s that boat sailed a long time ago, right? But you got to remember that you got to let God answer in his own time. God often delays. Notice in verse 13, I want you to go there. In verse 13 and in verse 18, it says, "The angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard.'" Pause it for just a second. The word "heard" there, the tense that it's written in, it's indicating that Gabriel, the angel, is saying, when you first prayed, back when you were young and you know, you had it going on and you were like, "Man, that's when I heard you. I heard you the first time you prayed." It says, "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son." Zechariah asks, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." You see, he knows that. You know, how can this be possible? You see, God had heard it the first time that it was prayed. I don't know what kind of prayers you've prayed to God, but I want to tell you this morning that when you prayed it, he heard it. He heard it. Now, in Scripture, sometimes we see the expression, "God didn't hear that," or "didn't hear that prayer." And that generally means that he doesn't respond to the prayer, but he does hear it. He doesn't respond sometimes to the prayer, but he does hear it. And he heard it instantly. He heard it immediately. But often God waits. And when he waits, it's because he's intentionally waiting. It's not like God is in heaven and he's like, oh man, he's not like me, in other words. He's not like, oh man, oh, he prayed when? It's not like God goes to the secretary and says, when did he pray? What, 30 years ago? Oh my gosh, I lost that memo. Like, God doesn't work that way. He doesn't miss a call. He doesn't forget. He had heard it, and he made a decision to not respond to that prayer at that time. And let me tell you the reason why God does that. God does that to prepare you for the answer. That's why God delays. If there's a delay in your prayers today, it may very well be because he is waiting for you to change. He's waiting for something in your life to change. Sometimes you're not ready for what he has planned for you. And my middle son, Nemi, he's the hard worker in the home. I mean, he likes to work. I mean, he really likes to work. And I like that, you know, because the more he works, the less I have to work. And so for a long, long time, he was like, Dad, can I use the riding mower? And I was like, son, you're not old enough. You're too small. And he's a little guy. He's like what I was when I was young. Now I'm big, you know, and tall and stuff. But, you know, when I was in high school, I wasn't this tall, you know, and big. But so he's a lot like I am. So I tell my son, I said, you got to be careful because the seat, he can't handle it, you know, because there's a certain weight that has got to be in there. Otherwise, it doesn't turn. You got to wait your turn. This is him asking at 7 years old, at 8 years old, nine, and finally he turned 11. And now he can use it. He grew up, you know, he's got growth now. And now Marisa doesn't have to cut the yard. So he had to grow up. God is waiting for you to grow up before he answers your prayer. Just like we had to wait for Nemi to grow up before his request got answered. Many times we feel frustrated because we feel like, but I'm ready now. We're ready now. But you may not be ready, and maybe that's why the timing is just not right. It's just not right. Maybe there's an attitude change that needs to happen before he answers the prayer. Maybe there's a lifestyle change that needs to happen. Maybe there's a sin to be confessed. Maybe there's a forgiveness to be made. There's something that is missing that is delaying that prayer. God delays, and he delays for a reason. I want to challenge you next time that you're waiting for a prayer that has gone unanswered to ask God this question. God, are you waiting on me? Are you waiting on me? Because God delayed. He delayed for Elizabeth and for Zechariah. Number two, the second key attitude in order to receive an answer to prayer is this, and that is let God answer in his own way. Let God answer in his own way. However he sees best. However he sees best. Let me take you to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9. It reads like this. It says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. In other words, God is saying, hey, listen, the way you do things, oftentimes, more often than not, is different than the way I do things. And then he's going to go on. He says, and my thoughts, than your thoughts, says the Lord. So not only do I think different than you do, and I also do things differently than you do. And would you agree with me that God has probably a better idea in mind than we do? Like, would you agree with me on that? That because His thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are different than ours and higher. Then maybe the way he thinks is better. Just maybe it's better, right? Since he can see the whole scope of humanity and the whole time of which things will happen. His time is a lot better. He wants to answer perhaps in a better and bigger way. Now imagine with me for just a moment. What if he would have said yes to Elizabeth and Zechariah when they first prayed, when they were young? You know what they would have had? they would have had a son or a daughter. We don't know. Ordinary. Nothing significantly special about the person. Maybe he would have loved God and had a relationship with God, but it wouldn't have been the last prophet of the Old Testament. It would not have been the person that God says he will be great in the sight of the Lord. It would not have been the one that prepared for Jesus' way. And that's why we got to let God answer in his own way. You know, if God would have answered some of my prayers growing up, oh boy, I would be in a big mess right now. You know, and many of you can agree with that, right? Many of you can attest to that fact. And maybe you're thankful here tonight or this morning. You're thinking, man, I am so glad that I didn't marry Billy Bob Joe Sam. Because, oh boy, you know, oh my goodness. Or you may be thinking, man, I'm glad I didn't marry Bertha. Oh, man, if I would have married her, I didn't know that she was going to turn out the way she turned out, you know. Can we all agree that there's some prayers that we're glad that God said, I'm not going to answer those? Yeah, because his ways are better than ours. I want to play you a song right now. And for those of you who are millennials, you know, 35 and under, and or teenagers, you may be like, or like this is like old people stuff. Just hang in there. You know, some of us actually grew up with this stuff, and hopefully you'll enjoy it too. Let's play that song.
Just the other night, at a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into my own high school flame. And as I introduced them, the past came back to me, and I couldn't help but think of the way things used to be. She was the one that I had won in for all time, and each night I'd spend praying that God would make her mine. And if he'd only grant me this wish I'd wish back then, I'd never ask for anything again. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers.
Catch that, you know, he's with his wife, and he sees, you know, the sweetheart he had in high school, and he realizes, man, thank goodness God didn't answer that prayer, you know. But then at the end, there by the midpoint of the song, it says, but it doesn't mean when he doesn't answer prayer that he doesn't care for you, because he cares for us, and that's why sometimes he doesn't answer a prayer, you know. And maybe some of you are here this morning, you're thinking, man, he hasn't answered a prayer. Trust me. He loves you. He loves you. And sometimes unanswered prayers are for a reason that you will later in the future realize and recognize what that reason was for. And you just got to trust that God's ways are different. His altitude is different. And so our attitude has got to be different. Number three, the key attitude is in order to receive and answer prayer is this: let God answer in his power. Let God answer in his power. Don't try to lend God a hand. Don't try and manipulate a situation to get your way, but let God answer in his own power. Let me show you in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 this. It says, God, by his mighty what? Power. His mighty what? Power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. You know what our biggest problem in prayer is? Is that we ask too small and we ask it too quickly. That's our biggest problem. And we don't dream big enough. We aim way too low, right? Our attitude is just way too low. So our altitude is low as well. And that's one of our biggest problems that we have, isn't it? Now for Elizabeth and Zechariah, this is really, really important because for them, it was literally impossible for them to have a child. They couldn't have a child. It was an impossibility. And that's key. That's important. Because when it's impossible for you and me, that's when you have a miracle from God. When it's out of your control, that's when we stand to see the biggest miracles that God has to offer. You have them both, older in age, and God just, when it's impossible, he appears with his power, he answers in his power, and he is able to demonstrate that he is the one that deserves all the credit. But let me give you a warning, though. Let me give you a warning. The warning is this. When you pray about a problem, don't be surprised if it gets worse before it gets better. Don't be surprised if it gets worse before it gets better. If you have an unbelieving mate, unbelieving spouse, don't be surprised if it gets more hostile at home before it gets better. If you're in a very financially tight situation, don't be surprised that if it gets worse than it gets better. If you're sick, don't be surprised that if you get sicker before you get better. And the reason is because the miracle is just around the corner. Is when you can't do anything about it, that you begin to see the miracle of God descend upon you, and then you can't take any single credit. You cannot say, I redeemed this relationship. You cannot say, I redeemed my finances. You can't say, I redeemed my health. It's like nobody can take the credit but God. He likes to come in when it's a hopeless situation, because it's an opportunity for him to demonstrate how powerful he is and the miracle is at hand. I don't know what your situation is this morning, what you're struggling with, what the big issue in your life is, but I want to let you know that you got to hang in there with God, because the miracle might just be around the corner for you. The fourth attitude is this, and that is, let God answer for his own purpose. Let God answer for his own purpose. God is not a genie in a bottle. He's not one that you just kind of polish God and bazam, he answers your prayer. He's not like that at all. He has a purpose. He has a purpose, and we got to take that into account. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, for example, it says, my word that goes out from my mouth will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I spent it. In other words, that God has a purpose in mind, and whatever he purposes is going to come to pass. Whatever he wants to happen will happen. And I want to tell you, he has two purposes in mind for sure. And the first one is this, that he would answer prayer for his glory, that he would answer prayer for his glory. For those of you who are familiar with the Egyptian history, when they had the Jewish community in their land, the Jewish community prayed for 400 years that God would do something. God, do something here. Do something here. Rescue us from slavery. Rescue us, God. 400 years before the answer to their prayer. Now that is delay, isn't it? And in Exodus chapter 14, verse 4, God said, I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. In other words, he waited that long. He waited that long so that he could demonstrate his glory, how good he is, how majestic he is, so more people would understand that he is God. He waited that long for that very purpose, to glorify himself. He's all about his glory. Understandably so. He's the highest personality, the highest person, the highest anything that exists. He's always existed, and therefore he has to be all about his glory. But check out also John the Baptist. He had a purpose, didn't he? that the reason that there was delay there with Elizabeth and Zechariah having John the Baptist was because it needed to be the right timing, because when John the Baptist would come into the scene, he was going to lead people back to God. You know, it says there, it says that he would, many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. He was going to bring him back. He was going to bring glory to God. And that's why they didn't have John the Baptist until they were way, 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 way earlier. There was a purpose for that. There was a purpose for that. You got to keep that in mind. Whatever prayer request you have with God, you got to keep in mind that God is going to try and bring glory to his name. Number two, he's going to try and bring growth to your life. He's going to try and bring growth to your life in the process. When he answers a prayer, it's for your growth as well. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who what? Love him. For the good of those who what? Love him. Who have been called according to his purpose. Everything that happens in your life, the unanswered prayer, the one that hasn't been answered yet, has a purpose. It has a purpose. When it gets answered, it has a purpose. And the purpose is to grow you in your relationship with the Lord. The purpose is to grow you in your relationship with Jesus Christ. All things, every single thing, the good things and the bad things are working for your good. It does not mean that all things are good. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying that bad things are good. He's not saying that. He's saying that all these things are working for your good, for your benefit and his glory. Because he built you with a purpose, and your purpose is to glorify him. So we have to keep that in mind. We have to keep that in mind that there is a purpose, and we have to let God answer for his own purpose. There might be some of you here this morning that you're like, you know, I'm just not feeling it, Jesse. I just don't sense that he listens to me. I don't sense that he ever has listened to me. And I would just want to say that maybe you're here this morning and you've never placed your faith in Jesus. Maybe you've never had that moment where you've said, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness and I need a leader. I'm telling you, the moment you ask Jesus to come into your life, to be your forgiver and your leader, at that very moment, you become not a stranger, but a son or a daughter. And God the Father listens to those who love him. And only a son and a daughter can love him, really love him. And I want to encourage you, if you're here this morning and that's you, that you would today put your faith in Jesus. Let's pray.
Hi, this is Jesse, lead pastor for Two Rivers Bible Church. Our mission is to lead you to know God and to make him known. Our desire is that every man, woman, and child would have that opportunity. Our dream is that we could take a picture of heaven and represent it here on earth in the diversity that we're able to reach. Our hope is that you too could partner with us by sharing this message to your closest unchurched friends and family.